That final verse we're going to take as our text tonight. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I'm going to think a little tonight on the subject of women praying in the prayer meeting of the church. A word of encouragement to all the ladies. So in that light, I emphasise the part of our text that says with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Many years ago, in fact it could be as far back as 30 years ago, I had the opportunity to get a tour of Big Ben. I was asked as a student, I think I was maybe in my last year in the college, to go over and preach in the Oulton Broad Church for a couple of weeks. It was vacant at that time. So on the way back, the journey back to London, before we flew home, we arranged with Mr. Paisley to give a little tour of the Houses of Parliament, and then to actually see Big Ben. We got the tour right up to the top, and we're up for the 12 o'clock strike. I don't know whether you're aware, but the tower, it was known as St. Stephen's Clock Tower. I think it's known now as the Queen Elizabeth II Tower. It actually contains a prison. When you make your way up the steps, there's only one way up to the top, and that is by quite a long walk up the steps. So they give you a break about a third of the way up. They take you out into a room. They tell you that there's good news and bad news. The good news is you're going to get a rest, and the bad news is that you're only a third of the way up. But that room they take you into for the break was the prison. The last person to be imprisoned there was Emily Pankhurst. She was the leader of the suffragette movement. That was the movement to put pressure on the government of the day to give all women the vote. So I emphasise that to you because, just to remind you, there was a time when ladies couldn't participate in the democracy of this country. And because of people like Emily Pankhurst and that movement that she led and was so much involved in, that is now all changed today. But let me emphasise, by way of contrast to that, that in the Church of Christ, and I'm talking about the Church of Christ generally, not the Free Presbyterian Church, in the Church of Christ generally, there are still those who believe that ladies should not participate in the prayer meetings of the church. There are denominations who don't allow the ladies to pray publicly. When we were in Burryport in South Wales, in the congregation there was a lady that attended the meetings. She came from Scotland. She had been brought up in the Brethren, and she would never pray herself publicly in the prayer meeting of the church. I read on one occasion of a congregation, and if the ladies in the church, in that congregation, wanted to have a matter prayed for, what they had to do was write it down and then either give it or post it to the minister of the church, and then he would read it out. He would make that prayer request known to the congregation, make it known in the meeting for prayer, but the ladies themselves couldn't pray about it in the actual prayer meeting of the church. So I highlight that to you tonight. There are still denominations who don't allow ladies to pray publicly in the meeting, and they seek to justify that, of course, from Scripture. They will emphasise passages such as Paul's words to the Corinthians. You know those words in chapter 14 of his first epistle, that the women should keep silence in the churches. So they will argue, they will say to you, if they're to keep silent, well then they shouldn't pray either. Now let me make it clear that those words don't mean that women should never speak publicly in a meeting of the church. They're not saying that women shouldn't speak on any occasion. It's not an absolute ruling. Always remember, we highlighted it on Sunday morning past in the children's address, always remember the importance in reading the Bible of comparing one passage with another. And also the importance of reading a statement in the scripture in the context in which you find it. And if you examine the context in which those words are found, you'll see what they're actually referring to as far as women keeping silent. It was particularly a passage that's dealing with the subject of speaking in tongues, and also the subject of prophets speaking in the meeting and being questioned on the message that they had brought. So it's important to look at the context. And I remind you as well that it's not a good principle of interpretation of the scriptures to build either a doctrine or a practice just upon one phrase that you find in one place in the Word of God. Another passage that those that hold to that view that the ladies shouldn't pray publicly, another passage that they refer to is 1 Samuel chapter 1. Do you remember the story of Hannah? When Hannah was in the tabernacle, and I emphasise to you, just to give you the setting, that the tabernacle was a place of worship, the place of public worship. And the scriptures tell us that when Hannah was there, she was praying to the Lord. She was praying for a son. It was something that she was deeply burdened about. But the Bible specifically says that she prayed in her heart. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And some will suggest from that, there's an example. There's a Bible example of how women should pray in the church. They're allowed to come to the meeting, but they shouldn't pray vocally, audibly. They should pray quietly in their heart. Can I point out to you that because Eli didn't hear her voice when he saw Hannah there in the tabernacle that day, and he didn't hear her voice whenever she was praying, he thought she was actually drunk. So the idea is that normally women's voices could be heard in prayer. It was because Eli couldn't hear her voice that he assumed she must be intoxicated. He thought that was the explanation for her behaviour that day. So he rebuked her for her drunkenness. So in actual fact, the passage teaches the very opposite of what those people want you to believe that it does. The lesson of that story, of course, the story of Hannah there, is that you can pray in your heart. It's a great encouragement. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to pray audibly. You can pray in your heart and still get a great answer. You can pray in your heart and God will still hear the cries that go up from your heart. You don't have to pray out loud in order to receive an answer to prayer from the Lord itself. So make it clear, brethren and sisters, there's no warrant in the Bible to justify that claim that only men should pray audibly in the prayer meetings of the church. In fact, the Bible, both by example and by exhortation, teaches the very opposite of that. If you think of this passage that's before us here tonight, in Acts chapter 1, you have the New Testament church, and the New Testament church is at prayer. Remember, there are six great prayer meetings recorded in the book of Acts. This is the first one. It reminds us that every great work for God begins in the prayer meeting of the church. This is the prayer meeting where they prayed for 10 days. They persisted before the throne of grace. These were the prayer meetings that preceded the day of Pentecost, the great outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the Church of Christ there in Jerusalem at that time. And we're plainly told that in this New Testament prayer meeting that the women in the congregation took part in the prayer time. You look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So the verse teaches the women were praying. And notice it carefully. It teaches us that the women were praying just like the men. There's the list of the apostles there that was just given in the previous verse. And it says these all continued with one accord in prayer and so with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's no distinction that is made. The verse of the passage doesn't say that the men prayed out loud, but the women just prayed silently, prayed quietly in their heart. It's important to see. There's no distinction made in the passage. The reality is they all prayed, men and women, and they all prayed alike in that early prayer meeting of the church. So here's an example of a New Testament prayer meeting. And remember that in the Word of God we learn not just by precept, we learn by example. So here's the example of the New Testament church, a New Testament prayer meeting, and there's no doubt about it. By what we're told, the Holy Ghost has deliberately written it into the passage so that we're in no doubt about it. Everyone was participating, the ladies of the congregation included. The ladies weren't banned from being there, and they weren't banned from taking part. The women weren't made to have a prayer meeting of their own. The fact is that the ladies prayed with the men. Isn't it interesting? There's only one lady named in the passage, Mary, the mother of our Lord. I remind you, highlight for you, it's the last mention of Mary in all of the New Testament scriptures. It's good to note that. It's good to mark it. And isn't it a blessing in the last reference to Mary that we have in the Word of God? It's a blessing to find her in the prayer meeting of the church. So what an example. What an example she was to that early church, that little fledgling congregation there in Jerusalem in those days, setting an example to all the other members by being at the prayer meeting. And by extension to that, what an example she sets to us as well, brethren and sisters. So the wording, if you look at it, it leaves you in no doubt that if Peter was praying out loud, so was Mary, the mother of our Lord. So here's a New Testament prayer meeting, and the ladies prayed in that prayer meeting. Think of another example. You think of Anna. Anna was an old lady, and we're told that she departed not from the temple. Think of her faithfulness. But remember that the temple again is the place of public worship. And that old lady, far from retiring from her active service for Christ, the Bible says that she served God. And she served God in a very distinct manner. She served God with fastings and prayers. So it's good to remember that. Even as you get a little older, maybe not as strong, as much energy as once you had, maybe can't get involved the same actively in the work of God and the meetings and so on. Here's a means, a very honoured means of serving the Lord with fastings and prayer. So it's a woman of the New Testament times, and she's at prayer. But the question is, how did she pray? Was it silent? Well, the passage teaches, it's the passage in Luke chapter 2, it teaches that she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. So I want you to ask, how did they know that she gave thanks to the Lord if they didn't hear her words? If they knew she was thanking the Lord, it's obvious in the prayer that she offered, the thanks that she gave, the praise that she rendered. She was doing it out loud so that everybody could understand what she was actually doing and what she was actually saying. And notice the word there in the passage. Remember that there's no words that are superfluous in the scriptures. No words added in there without meaning or without purpose. The word likewise she gave thanks, or she gave thanks likewise, is the actual order of the words. And in the passage, what had been happening is that Simeon had just been speaking. There's two old believers, an old lady, an old man, in the temple worshipping God. He had offered praise for the birth of the Lord Jesus. It's recorded that Mary and Joseph marvelled at what he said. So if they marvelled at the things that they heard in his praise before the Lord, then they heard what he said. They heard the prayer of Simeon. And then we're told that Anna likewise gave thanks unto the Lord. So the idea, brethren and sisters, is Anna gave her thanks the same way that Simeon had done. He had prayed out loud. Everybody that was there could hear it. Everybody that was there knew what he was doing, knew what he was saying, could understand his words. He did it out loud, and she did it in exactly the same way. So it's another New Testament example of a woman praying publicly in the place of public worship. In those days, that was the temple. Think as well of Paul's words. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, very well known passage in the scriptures, deals with two main subjects. It deals with the head covering, and it deals with the communion, the Lord's table. But in that passage we're told that every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. It's 1 Corinthians 11 verse 5, if you'd like to look at the words yourself. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. So he's speaking here of women both praying and prophesying. Prophecy is a public act. If you're going to prophesy, it must be done in a public place. And let me ask you, just before moving on, let me ask you to note the reference there to women speaking in public. And keep that in mind, what we highlighted earlier, when a little later on, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, let the women keep silence in the church. If that was an absolute, women were never to speak in the church, then here's a place where the word of God contradicts itself, because he's saying that women can prophesy. They can speak publicly in the church. Prophecy is a public act. And as the prophecy here is linked to prayer, it's a reference to public prayer. Paul's talking here about public participation in the meetings of the church. And he's talking about ladies speaking out loud in the meeting, and he's talking as well about ladies praying out loud in a meeting of the church. So being no doubt about it, men and women, the New Testament does not forbid. It does not forbid ladies to have a public part in the meetings of the local church. You see there in 1 Corinthians 11, along with the other passages that we've considered, it does allow, it does encourage. The only condition that Paul sets in 1 Corinthians 11 is they must cover their heads. They must wear a head covering whenever they're engaging in a public meeting in either one of those two ways. So here's just a little tonight of women praying in the prayer meeting. And I say all those things just simply for this reason. We want to encourage all of our ladies to take part. We want to encourage our ladies to pray in the prayer meeting. I state it clearly to you tonight, in the light of what we have considered, set before you, I want to state it clearly that women can, and the ladies should, take part in the public prayer meetings of the church. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the view, the historic view, that our denomination has taken of the teaching of the Word of God. So we say to all the ladies tonight, if you're saved, if you're living a life that glorifies the Lord, if you're walking close to Him, then never be afraid. Never be afraid to pray in these prayer meetings. Never be intimidated into silence. We would be encouraged to hear you pray and be blessed to hear you participate publicly in the gathering. Never feel
that to do so is wrong. Never for one moment feel that it's out of place in these prayer meetings for the ladies to take part. I'll finish just by telling you this. It's a story of Dr. Paisley's mother. She was quite a formidable lady. Some of you would have perhaps met her, heard her speak in former days. The story I'm going to tell you was actually told to me by a man that belongs to the Brethren, Mr. Mays. Some of you know Martin, that sold a lot of carpet, particularly in Market Hill. Well, this is his father, who was a Brethren missionary to South America. He said that many years ago, when Mrs. Paisley was a young woman, before she was actually married, she was staying at a home over in Lurgan. It was the home of a Dr. Gooding that belonged to the Assemblies in those days. They took her along one night to a Brethren prayer meeting, and there wasn't a very good spirit of prayer in the meeting. So when there was a big long pause, she actually took part. She, as they would have thought, she dared to pray publicly in the prayer meeting of the church. And even the Brethren laughed about it afterwards when they tell the story. They said that after she closed in prayer, there were no more gaps in the season of prayer until the prayer meeting was over. It really roused the spirit of all the men to take part in the meeting. But that would have been frowned upon, what she dared to do on that particular occasion. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. The apostles, remember, these ladies were praying in the same prayer meeting as the apostles, those very distinct and select leaders of the New Testament church, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we pray the Lord will bless these few thoughts just to your hearts tonight. We welcome you all along to the midweek service. We're glad to have you.